Amen, amen. Please do be seated now. And Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for your grace, dear God. Thank you for, God, you just being who you are, Lord God. And even as Pastor Greg said, just in being who you are, it's going to be all right, dear God. It is all right, dear God. It is exceedingly all right because you're exceedingly good, Lord. So we just pray in the name of Jesus, dear God, that which you desire, dear God, to first impress upon me and impress through me, Lord God. Father, may it come to pass to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I do want to thank, first of all, the Lord and Pastor Greg and Pastor for extending this opportunity. And I, even with that mode of getting right into it, that is the plan. I do want to make, of course, some acknowledgments. I want to start off again with just Pastor Greg. I know I've said this before, and yet I'll still say it. When I look at things and I feel like, boy, it's a lot going on for me, I look at him and Lady Carol, and that's the part of the Lord saying, my grace is sufficient. You know, you see it firsthand and what he carries. And I appreciate he doesn't just carry, he doesn't just juggle stuff. He pursues each item unto excellence. I see it. I mean, there's so many, I could go through all kinds of God-birth initiatives through him with such sharpness and crispness and excellence about them. And actually, he's been patient because I know a lot of things that he's put forth, he hadn't seen with the level of diligence that he put it forth. But God is more than gracious to fulfill that which he put in your heart. So I just wanted to encourage you, Pastor Greg. I thank you, and I trust God that you're going to see some of the very things he put in your hearts with a number of directives that he's birth through you. Of course, I honor Pastor and Elder Francine, my spiritual parents. I thank God for them. Glad they're getting some rest and hopefully get great Sabbath rest. And we wouldn't be where we are, probably even geographically, certainly spiritually, we being myself, my wife Kim, and my children, if it wasn't for the grace of God through Pastor Walker. I'll just put it out there like that. Amen. 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 And to my family, I'm just going to go in quick order. So Christian is Mr. Discernment. Christian is the one that literally, God has given him a gift. He senses the atmosphere, and sometimes he even shows what's going on in the atmosphere. I can't belabor that, but from, as Kim knows, from when he was a toddler, I just always believe the Lord has given him a great gift of discernment. I know he'll use that to not just discern what's going on, but to know how to pray over what's going on. So I thank God for that. Corey is on the camera. Corey is Mr. Easygoing. Corey, he is so quick to forgive, and I appreciate how he's forgiven me on a number of occasions when I didn't do it the way I should have done it. But he's very easygoing, very tenderhearted, and I just thank God for that. But yet also a rugged man of God in the making. So thank God for Corey. Kelly challenges me with the consecration that the Lord has already given her at such a young age. It challenges me in a good way to see her genuine pursuit of the Lord. Karis is Miss Go-Getter. You know, being the oldest in our homeschool environment, the fact that she is such a go-getter, it helps us in a lot of ways, scholastically and just even business-wise, too. She's the one finding deals. I mean, she is just a go-getter, and the Lord blesses us with Miss Karis Elizabeth Haynes. And as far as Miss Minister Kimberly Haynes, I think it's just, I normally try to come up with some kind of phrasing, but I think what Sharon said about amazing love, I've seen it from the Lord in various ways, and one that shines brightly is Miss Kim Haynes. So thank you, Kim. Amazing love, amazing love. Amen, amen. So I also want to go right into the topic. So when I was blessed to have this opportunity to share, of course, you know, your first thought is, Lord, what would you have said? Like Barbara was teasing me about in the back. I'm going to call on some of y'all. It helps me to feel more comfortable up here. But Barbara was teasing me. But truly, I wanted to know what God you had to say. And when he gave me this title, you know, you never want to get to a point where you're not rightly reverent before the Lord and always being tender about things, sensitive about things. You know, Pastor will tell you in a minute, he'll pull that left hand out and start rewriting the whole message, you know, off the last worship song, if he's been on a particular topic studying it for days and days. So I wanted, likewise, it's wise to be that way. So on this topic that came to heart, you know, up until time of service or right before service, I was still saying, okay, Lord, I think this is you. You know, it'd be great if you confirm it, but if not, I'm just going to go by what I believe by the Spirit. And I believe he confirmed it or helped to confirm it by some people I saw right before service. I was in room 117 getting ready, and I saw some affluent people come by. And they were asking me about where school of ministry classes were. The first rich person I saw come by was Minister Elder Lincoln. I don't know if he's here tonight, but he came by, asked me about the class. Then I saw a rich person by way of Minister Simonette come by. Then I saw this affluent gentleman, Minister Willie Torrey, come by. And last but not least, I saw a very rich lady, Sister Marva, in the hallway. And they're rich. The fact that their affluence and the way that they're affluent really, I think, confirmed the title. And the title is Generational Transfer of Wealth. And it's kind of funny that me as youth pastor, I'll be going this way, but I believe the Lord set it up that way because I just believe that it's a cross-generational thing necessarily. But generational transfer of wealth is the topic. And so this came about actually also in the context of what's recently occurred, both in ministry and what's even some of the challenges that have been occurring in our society and the environment. As far as ministry is concerned, if you look back not too long ago, Pastor had an extended ministry on fathers, about his earthly father and spiritual fathers. It was beyond Father's Day. It was like Father's Month or Father's Month and a half. He went for a while on talking about the importance of fathers in the kingdom and spiritual fathers. And then on Fifth Sunday, we had a unique service. It was a panel discussion of sorts, and we had the generations up there. Minister Harold Nixon was up there, and some others were up there. And it was on this dialogue about bridging the gap across generations. And as I'll talk about later, that's actually just as critical to cross-culture church as is the flags that we wave as well. It's not just nations and ethnicities, it's age groups as well when we talk about cross-culture church. So that was going on. And then I'll even tell you that when we've been having youth ministry breakouts, as a few of you know at least, I've actually been blessed. Well, I'm sorry, let me back up. So right after that Sunday, it was so impacting that Wednesday, some of you may remember, we had another unique scenario where we broke out in groups and we continued the discussion about bridging the gap across generations. So it's a context of the importance of fathers and generations connecting. And then beyond that, we had actually resumed Sunday breakouts, and so we would go down and share. But what I had the privilege of doing was I would have certain leaders come down, and I asked them to come and give brief nuggets. So I had Elder Joe Beatty come down. Again, continuing the conversation as we themed it. Elder Joe Beatty came down, and he shared. Minister Charlotte Ross came down, and she shared. Last Sunday, Elder Robert Boyd and Minister Pat Boyd came up, and they shared. And the beauty of it was, beyond introductions, because my initial goal was just so that they wouldn't be this foreign face to the youth and vice versa, just they at least know something about the person. But beyond introductions, there were impartations made. Minister Charlotte Ross gave a very eloquent and heartfelt impartation, followed up by prayer, about not being given over to racial issues. And so this was like the Sunday right after Charlottesville, but it was almost like it prepared us for what escalated that following week. So even by her experiences and how it was the love of God that was the key to her having the right posture towards white brothers and sisters, and even if they weren't brothers and sisters in the Lord, the other culture, if you will. And then Elder Robert Boyd and Sister Pat, they came up, and beyond introductions, they imparted mightily just about where the youth are and where they were and how they could empathize with that, things they had seen and experienced, basically. So with that context, it's been a flow of ministry that's kind of really had that aspect of bridging the gaps and connecting age groups and generations, if you will. So you look at that, but then you look at the another thing is you look at the context of challenges that are occurring again in our society, globally, North Korea, missile threats, nationally, the climate itself, the weather, even as Sister Sharon just shared about what happened in the, and is happening even in the Gulf Coast area and kind of dissipating now. Governance. We know about the issues that came up with some of the comments that came up from our president regarding Charlottesville. And even personally, we still are dealing with an array of challenges, be it physical, spiritual, relational. We all are going through different concoctions, different recipes of challenges. Personally, coupled with nationally, coupled with globally, it's easy to be dazed by what's going on. At times, I was tempted to just feel dazed. It's almost like you're getting hit from so many angles, you don't know where it's coming from and how it's coming. And so actually, though, it's with that context that I return to the title about there being a needed generational transfer of wealth, okay? And so as you all probably would imagine, when I say transfer of wealth, I mean true wealth. I mean the kind of wealth that transcends what money can and can't do, because I guarantee you there are some very financially rich folks in Houston right now, and there is maybe even in a sense more devastated than by what some in the inner city might be. So I mean a true kind of wealth when I say affluence and spiritual wealth and the need for that transfer. Okay, and so with that, when I say wealth, I just kind of want to give a few attributes about the wealth that's needed and the transfer that's needed. The wealth that's based upon sight, having a historical context, seasoning, experiences that have developed character, and last but not least, steadfastness. Sight, historical context, seasoning, experiential character development, and steadfastness. So let's first talk about sight. You know, it's amazing how you can see, if you've been around long enough, as they say, how you can see patterns unfold. You can see patterns unfold. And sometimes it's quite amazing. Give you an example. And I'm going to kind of start off with something that's a little lighter, but then I'm going to go to something else that's actually heavier. And I'm going to use a 25-year mark. And my point is, in Ecclesiastes, I think it talks about, there's a statement, I think, in Ecclesiastes about there being nothing new under the sun, right? We know that it's not identical, but the essence of certain things, there are patterns that you can see if you've been around long enough. Some are quite natural and almost whimsical. About this, I'll go with a 25-year, and there's a natural phenomenon or natural occurrences. A lot of people are giddy right now with Mercedes-Benz, right? That's opening up, and then giddy that I think within a couple years, Atlanta will host the Super Bowl. Do you know that 25 years ago, it was that same kind of pattern? The Georgia Dome opened up, 92, and within a couple years, Atlanta was hosting the Super Bowl. All right, that's kind of trivial, but I'm just kind of setting the stage or something. Let's go to Hurricane Harvey. Do you know that that hit, and I don't know if Minister Mike Simonetta is here, he was here earlier, almost to the day, that hit 25 years after Hurricane Andrew in Miami, which for me being from Miami, it definitely literally and figuratively hit home. And you see the devastation. We didn't have the kind of flooding they're experiencing in Houston, but it was definitely a wipeout kind of situation. 25 years, I think literally almost to the day, maybe one day separated. And so where I'm going with that is you see things, I'll bring up another thing too. You look at what's going on as far as the racial climate, and almost 50 years ago, you look at what was going on as far as in the 68 with the assassination of Dr. King, and as I understand, even when Senator Kennedy, RFK, was assassinated, that was a blow to a lot of black folks because he was kind of looked at as one of the remaining people that was highly viewed. So my point is, you see challenges, and yet although they're not identical, those who've been around and been through them, you can see the patterns, and what I'm going to point out soon is you've seen it. That's the biggest thing. The fact that you've seen it and the Lord has graced you to get through it, there's a lot of wealth in you just for that reason. That those who are going through for the first time, they need to be able to draw upon that strength, that it's going to be all right kind of strength. So I bring that up, and I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Again, by you having seen life's events, and more importantly, you've seen the Lord get you through or get us through life's events. So in Deuteronomy, it's actually a couple locations in Deuteronomy, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, the Lord said what I believe was pronounced to be the Shema, where he says, "Hear, O Israel," in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, so he was setting the stage that Israel was not supposed to be polytheistic. It was only one true God. And not only was there one true God, but in verse 5, he commanded them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And if you look later on in Matthew, or in the New Testament, I believe in Matthew, you'll see that when they asked the Lord, what's the greatest commandment? He basically referenced that and went on to say, the second is like unto a love your neighbor as yourself. So the Lord God, when he gave Israel this Shema, it was a pivotal command for them to heed to. But if you look later, and I'll tell you this, actually, I was blessed with a message years ago by a pastor where he brought this out. It was about loving God. But if you go a little bit further in Deuteronomy to chapter 11, looking at verses 1 through 8, he's still talking about the love and the command to love him, but he really specifies it in a unique way. He says in verse 1 of chapter 11, therefore you, talking to Israel, but you'll see which particular part of Israel, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. What he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses, and to their chariots. Now he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you. And how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben. How the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the subjects that, and all the substance, excuse me, that was in their possession in the midst of Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. So again, he said, I'm not talking to your children. Or as Pastor said, I'm not talking to your babies. I'm talking to you, the ones who've seen it. You've seen my judgment. You've seen my mercy. You've seen my grace. I'm talking to you. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong, and we certainly need strength today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. Okay? So in this case, we see that he actually, you know, he gave that great command, and ultimately it was for all of Israel. But who did he hold primarily responsible? He held responsible those who, the saints who had been around longer, because they were supposed to set the pattern. Okay, they were supposed to set the pattern and set the stage for how the younger ones, or those who are at least younger in the faith, so to speak, should follow thereafter. And so because of that, another part of it too that we appreciate is that we've had the sight. Many of us have had the sight to see some things, okay? And then you also have the seasoning, as I call it, the seasoning, which is that experiential character development. If we go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Okay, so this is Paul talking to the saints and who were trying to be supportive of him during a challenging time. Even Paul in his challenge, he said, not that I speak in regard to need, for what I have learned, so learn denotes that he learned it. It wasn't something he could just be zapped into. But what I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Okay, so Paul, in this case, was saying that he had learned some things, and again, based upon, I remember Pastor Sharon on this, the learning process means it was just that, it was a process. It wasn't something you could just blink yourself into. It was going through some things, seeing the Lord get you through some things, and being seasoned in the process, being letting his character be developed in you in the process. And, you know, I was saying, again, I saw the affluence that came through where they were asking me about what some of the classes were. And I can tell you very genuinely, very heartfelt manner, many a times I have drawn from the examples of seeing how many of the saints in this local fellowship have gone through what they've gone through, have let the Lord carry them through what he's let them carry them through, and come out the better. And I'm one of the beneficiaries. I'm like one of the residual beneficiaries of that. I look back at Brother Burke. How do you yet trust the Lord to save a spouse from death, from passing, from transition? That spouse transitioned. You're faced with the same, well, similar situation years later, and yet by the grace of God, you can trust God enough for him to do the impossible and have a sister Narkita walking around glorifying God. How do you do, that experience, and matter of fact, Brother Bird even said when he went through that, this was for the body. What they went through was for the body. The body feeds off of that. You know, when I saw Sister Ann Butler, Sister Ann, I'm trying to remember the time between the burning of the house and when you all released Jerry Jr. How much time was that? It may have been a while, but for some reason I'm thinking of two events. They weren't that far apart. So to see her do that, release a mom this year, and still come before service like few to attend the class and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, that's the kind of riches that we need. And my charge is, we so much need it, please transfer it to us. We need to be pulling on it, but please push it towards us as well, because we need that, the body does. So there's a seasoning that comes up. Deaconess Etherine Murdix, I remember vividly, and I've said it before, I think the last time I shared on the Wednesday, I shared this, because it was so impacting. You don't even have to say a lot, but the quality of what the Lord puts in you. I remember we were sharing, and she was talking about when Brother John Murdix transitioned, and it was unexpected. It was quick on our account, you know. And I remember her being transparent. She said, I told the Lord, Lord, I don't understand. But she also told the Lord, I don't question you, though. That's the kind of strength that even as we're believing God for him to, and she's believing God for him to deliver her through this time, that's the kind of affluence that we need so desperately in this hour. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord has put that in you for us to feed off of. And last, I just want to bring up a book, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So again, it's that part of that fact that there are some things that the Lord has to process us through. We don't ask for it. We wouldn't ask for it a second time, but he does what only he can through the process. You know, some people say, you know, I think many of us, we know that the Lord has built all kind of character in us through some issues of life, challenges of life. We thank God for the challenge. If it came around again, we would still say no thank you. But the Lord knew that. That's why he didn't ask you. He just took you through it, and he built it, and he forged it in you. Amen? So we just thank God that his way prospers, you know. And I don't make light of that. I mean, you see, I'm bringing up some serious stuff. But God is still good, and he still builds incredible glory for his name in and through us. And the last, again, remember I said it was sight, seasoning, and steadfastness. So I want to turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Okay, I may have to cheat. Let me cheat. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older man be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Now, before we go to the next verse, if we go back to that, again, he's specifying, right, that the older man be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. What you'll see is he didn't do this to the exclusion of the younger men. He just set the order, okay? So the older men, again, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience, okay? The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Not that he was excluding younger women, as we'll see, but now we can continue. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And then verse 6, likewise exhort the young man to be sober-minded. So towards the end, he was still including young women and young men. He just set the stage. What he was saying was, show them a pattern. I'm charging you all to show a pattern, okay? When he says young men likewise, that connotes that there was a pattern that they should be able to reference to see somebody so that they could walk it out. And guess what? You do set a pattern. We watch. We watch. And I thank God for what we see. I'm just telling you, do it all the more in perilous times like this, okay? And one thing, humor, but with a point as well. You know, a lot of times, too, of course, we are putting a lot of attention on charging our young folks, even as a youth pastor, right? We're putting a lot of attention on charging our young folks in Cross Culture Church to step into the place where God has for them to be. But as been said before, and I want to continue to say, we need you to continue to set the charge, set the pattern, if you will, okay? And just playfully, I know, and here's the thing, when the two are together in right tandem, God is doing, he will do all the more, the amazing. And so, again, a bit of a light charge. I just want to say, some of you know, a lot of times we're talking about ministering through Facebook and all kinds of information technology modes. And you may not be as familiar with all of this stuff, all of this, you know, smartphone, dumb phone, you know, but I just want to tell you, you may not be as familiar or savvy with the apps. You know how they talk about apps on the phone? But you are incredibly blessed to know the application. You may not know all the apps, but Sister Sherry, you know some major applications based upon what the Lord has carried you through. So I want to encourage you all with that. Don't at all diminish, even inadvertently, the place that the Lord has for you to hold right now in this season with the race that we all have to run together. Amen. There is such a wealth that we are blessed to have. There is such a wealth that we are blessed to have. And I just want to I highlighted some, but I just want to bring this up some more. First and foremost, Pastor, you know, and in his absence, but just as much as he would be here, a huge amount of wealth in this man of God. I could pick an attribute. I could pick a number of attributes. One of the attributes I would just highlight for the sake of time is I appreciate he's always exuberant, always believing God for him to do something that may have even been tried before. Fellowship of Metro Atlanta Churches, you know, a number of initiatives that's on pastor's heart that even if it didn't work out before, he remains exuberant. He remains steadfast in trusting God for that thing to come about. And I believe it will, and I pray it will in his day. Amen. So I pull upon that. I pull upon that. Pastor Greg and the elders, again, they're for a reason. I won't belabor, but I pull a lot on the giftings and the strength that the Lord has forged in them, as we all do. Okay. But then even outside of that, I want to even just tell you this has been so prophetic when we look at the strength that the Lord has sent us in these father figures and mother figures in the house. One that came to heart, and I think it's due diligence to mention it to him, is a father figure for the ministry, that being Dr. Haggai. And I want to paint a picture for you. Last year, he came four times. I'm asking you for one word. If I just asked you to give me the one word that he ministered on every single time, what was it? Stress, worry, anxiety, synonymous, all the same, right? Now, you look at that, it wasn't because he couldn't have ministered on a lot of other things, right? But you look at what he ministered on in 2016, we're barely past the halfway point of 2017. You don't think that was prophetic? Looking at all that was going on, you don't think the Lord was continuing to give us a charge about that coming into a year? We just talked about hurricanes and racial challenges and you know, even nuclear war threats. You don't think the Lord knew who to send? And he didn't just send anybody. That's why I want to emphasize, too. He sent the man that, with all of the accolades of all of being steadfast, when you talk to him, he learned how to be content in the Lord, even through the challenges of a son that I don't think lived to be 30. I think his son passed at an early age, and he was plagued physically with all kinds of challenges from malpractice on a drunk doctor's behalf. For years, the Lord forged something in him to be able to stand before us at 90-some-odd years old and preach against anxiety, because that's what part of his preparation. That was part of his preparation. Okay, so when we look at that and we look at the wealth that is in the seasoned, those who've seen, those who've been steadfast, I want you all to really receive the fact. I want us to receive the fact that when we talk about bridging gaps, this generational part is just as critical to cross culture, again, as is the flags we wave or the ethnicities that come in. It is just as critical, because there is a critical transfer that's needed. Somebody needs to be able to see that you can actually go through this and still remain sane, still remain saved, and in fact, be sold out. Somebody needs to see it. Somebody younger needs to see it. And you need to give it so that we don't get stale. They need to see it. They need to receive it. And we need to give it. So I just want to encourage us, and even with the demographics of here tonight, it's not a coincidence that most of us here are further along, because it's a charge to us. It's a charge to us to take this seriously and to know the place that you have. I work with the youth, right? I'm telling you, more than you think, they watch. More than you think, they listen. More than you think, they receive. They receive, they receive, they receive. So what kind of transfers can you make? What kind of transfers are you making? Because they're actually already underway. Just by your positioning, there are actually already transfers being made right now. You know, interestingly, when Pastor ministered on Sunday, he talked about a founding father. He mentioned President George Washington. And, you know, on one hand, he was talking about how there was he was a perplexed slave owner, even as a founding father. So I'm just talking about from a natural political side of things. And in that, though, if you look at that, what did he transfer as a leader, just from a political standpoint? If he was perplexed about it, it was a peculiar institution even to him as a slave owner, and that thing perpetuated for a while, right? So there was, even if he didn't mean to perpetuate that, just by his position, there was a transfer of conflict that this nation dealt with for centuries. I'm really just saying that to say, as Pastor said, you set the pace. We set the pace for what others will follow with. Our promptness, I'm talking to myself more than anybody else, our diligence, our lack thereof, when we want to let up, when we want to ease up, that sets a pace for the rest of the house. It really does. And I just want to kind of, on the closing end of this, I just want to let you all know, I think I mentioned it already, but a lot of this message can quite naturally come from my personal testimony of being blessed by seasoned people of God, seasoned people of God. I could give a couple quick popcorn testimonies. I remember a Sunday morning I came in and Elder Ron Campbell just felt led to come up to me and encourage me, and it was so timely and on point. I tell people, I'm telling you, the Lord sent you. You know what I mean? I told Minister Shalita a little while ago this year, she prayed a prayer over me on the Sunday morning prayer again, and I told you, I said it was prophetic. I said, the Lord sent you. But even beyond that, again, I draw from the examples. I see Elder Jerry and Ann Butler trusting the Lord come what may. I see, when I come to Minister Charlotte And I tell her, I had to release my grandmom at 94, just like you had to release your mom at 94, and you pray over me. There is such a blessing in the house. There's such a wealth. I wasn't just being playful with that. There is a wealth in seeing Missionary Thomas still have a heart to cry out for the nations while she's going through and trusting God for physical healing. There is such a wealth that you have to transfer. Isn't it a shame to go to the grave rich and you know you can't take it all with you, but there was no will in place, there was nothing in place for others to benefit by it? Make the transfer, make the exchange. We need it. Don't take it with you. In fact, you should be here for a while anyway, helping us to run this race. I'm just saying, even while you're here, help us. Make it a point. Reach out. Be aggressive. You know, Minister Willie Torrey is not, I remember Pastor Greg said, he's not afraid of having the hard conversations. In love, have the loving, hard conversations. Sit a young lady down and say, I know what it's like. Sit a young man down. Sit an older man down. Sit an older lady down. Make the transfer, though, because we need it as a rallying point. Remember Pastor talked about us assembling and rallying together? That's part of us rallying under his word, is that we rally together as well. So receive the charge because it is for you. I promise you. This title, I believe it was dropped on me, and I believe it's because the Lord knew who will be here tonight, who will be watching, and what have you. Okay? And ultimately, though, we know that ultimately what we all have to do when we talk about, let me make 2 points, actually, before I make that last point. Let me just say this. As you can tell, most of this bent has been towards those who have maybe more years under the belt. But I tell you who else came to mind, Minister Christy Doe will come to mind, came to mind. You know, so it's not just an age thing. I'm just saying if you've got some mileage in the Lord, at whatever age, you tend to have more mileage if you've got a little bit more years, but if you have mileage in the Lord, look to see how you're going to make that transfer. Because we need that generational transfer of wealth that the Lord has placed in you to bless the body with. And the last point that I'll make is actually out of James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Okay? And I say that because we know that every blessed point of steadfastness, insight, seasoning, sight, everything that I've mentioned and things I haven't mentioned that are present in this local fellowship is because of what God put in us. And so we know that ultimately as they look at us or they look at you, they look at us, we want them to see the Lord. He is the one that gives us the grace to be steadfast. He is the one, because a lot of us know years don't equate with wisdom. Years don't necessarily equate with things of God. Matter of fact, sometimes they actually, trying to be respectful with this, more years can actually just confirm all the more foolishness, if you will. You know, so I'm not saying years necessarily equate to being more mature in the things of God. But for those who are in Christ, those years or that mileage, if you will, the Lord gave it to us. He established it in us because it came from him. And I just want to encourage us that it's not even about us, like we talked about before the service. It's not even about Brother Roy and Sister Vivian, just them giving the wisdom of God, the character of God. It's about God being glorified in them, giving that wisdom away. So what I'm saying is, we don't want to be a hold up to what God wants to use us for as a conduit, as a. It's not just some trivial, I will decide to, you know, be nurturing. No, I will decide to let the Lord use me as an instrument he desires to use me as, and that's why he put all of these experiences in my life. So it's a charge. I keep thinking about this song, a charge to keep. Pastor Greg, but it is a charge that the Lord has given us that we must get out. We must get out. And as my last point, Sister Betty, I just want to thank you because you make it a point to do just that. You will pull somebody to the side, love on them, And by the time they get out of here, they've been through two services, the sanctuary service and the Sister Betty service. But that's what we need. That's what we need. So I thank God. And Father, I just even close with that. God, I thank you for the experiences. I thank you for the character. I thank you for the insights. I thank you for the grace that you have provided in this local fellowship, dear God. And Father, we know it's not limited to an age, but Lord God, many of those that have been blessed with this deposit are those who've been in the way, in the way, in the holy way, not in your way, but in the way that you have for them to be. And God, because of that, you've given them the experiences, some that they really quite candidly didn't even want, but you saw them through it, and they're the better for it, and we will be the better for it. So I pray, dear God, that this generational transfer of wealth, dear God, that you would have to come to pass. May we not hold it up, God. May, in fact, we be sacrificial, dear God, to allow it all the more. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that, Father God, the riches that you, dear God, desire for your children, all of your children to receive, would come to pass. So I thank you, Lord God, and I thank you for hearts to receive. I do thank you, dear God, that those who are to be recipients of this great riches, dear God, that their hearts would be prepared, dear God. They're already hungry, but God, make their hearts prepared to receive the nourishment that can come through those who are further along, older in the faith, Lord God. So we thank you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think the last thing I would ask us to do is just individually, if you know that the Lord has given you a rich deposit, or you're further realizing the deposit that the Lord has given you. And it's not to say we all still have points, blind spots, issues, and what have you, but you know that there's a press upon you to let that be experienced by others, especially those who are younger in the faith. I just want to ask you to stand, and you have a time before the Lord as a first point, as I do the same. Let's just go before the Lord individually and go before him with the heart and with the intent to do just that, to be more available for him to share that. So if that's you, if you would just stand, and this is your time with the Lord to just commit to allow him to grant those riches through you unto the younger generation. Amen.